2 News time is 9:08. This is Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond. And what do you know? I'm Dale Desmond. Guys, we had a beautiful sunrise this morning. Got to see it all right here out the studio window. Gorgeous day. A beautiful Monday. Going into the holiday weekend in studio. My very good friend, Brian Theriot. The man that knows everybody and everything. And you, I know you're going to be like, oh, shucks, I'm so humble. Brian knows everybody. And you're like me where I always say I'm not cool, but I know cool people. You are cool and you know cool people. Brian, welcome to the show. Congrats on on getting to another year, my man.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, hold on a second. We got to hit the right button. There we go. You're on. There we go. Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Dale. Glad to be here.
That was anticlimactic, a big lead up, and then you were gone. Okay, so a quick question. The most burning question I'm going to ask you on the show today. Do you have your Christmas shopping done?
Yes.
All done?
It's done.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Do you?
I'm just glad I have a wife that's great at wrapping packages. That's all I can say.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think you rate on being a good rapper? And I don't mean the kind that rhymes to beats and stuff. How good are you?
My kids would tell you I'm a 6.
A 6 when it comes to Christmas present or to present wrapping. Wife does it all?
I'm just glad we have great Christmas bags that you can put gifts in.
Oh. See, that's so easy.
Yeah.
I like to think of it, every year, I don't know why, I end up emceeing a lot of white elephant parties. Mm-hmm. I've done 3 this year. And I always say, it's not just a present, it's a present and a bag. All right, let's...
I just also want to say, too, Dale,
yes.
That I live just off of Main Street, and uh-huh. I saw the Hobby Lobby semi-truck backed up.
Oh,
so
unloading the goods.
Unloading the goods.
It won't be open for Christmas.
I have no idea when it's going to open, but that truck was there
that was,
over the weekend.
Okay. You hear the sound you hear are those little valley moms licking their chops, ready to jump on Hobby Lobby and pick that place clean like a pack of coyotes and a 3-legged cat. It's going to be great. Brian, Merry Christmas to you, by the way. You sticking around? What are you guys doing for the holidays? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're going to be here. We're excited to be here as a family. And then for New Year's, we're going to travel up to Ogden. That's where my wife's from and her family.
The wife's fam on New Year's.
So,
all right.
Because we want to go up there to see if we can't find some snow.
Right.
I'm looking out the window here, and I can't see any snow anywhere.
We're supposed to get some rain here in southern Utah this week, like quite a bit. In fact, Mesquite's got a flood warning later this week. And St. George, looking at, it's going to start raining on Wednesday. 95% of rain, percent chance of rain all the way through the week, all the way through Saturday. It's going to be a wet Christmas, not a white Christmas. But the good news is Brian Head looks like it's going to get some snow on Friday. But looking pretty good. So if you're going to want to go ski after the holiday, between Christmas and New Year's, you're going to be good to go. All right, Brian, tons to talk about. I'm trying to think of where we want to start. So over the weekend, you and I both are part of the St. George Rotary Club. And what was interesting is every year we do a couple of big events, a couple of big projects. We do a lot of cool little things throughout the year here in St. George. A lot of stuff. We just raised, I think, like $5,000 for Utah Tech scholarship program that we're initiating. But over the weekend, and I talked about this, I wasn't here Friday because we took a big humanitarian group and items to Helchita, Utah. You ever been there? You ever done this before?
I've never been there. Yeah.
It's really cool. We also do a big project and a big trip to Guatemala that you've been a part of.
Yes, I have, and I took the whole family down to Guatemala.
Yeah.
And it's a project that we really engaged with and love.
In the spring, right. But so this one was cool. So we loaded up Friday morning. We had several boxes of hams. There were 80-something hams. Several of our listeners donated to it to help pay for these hams we took to the Navajo Reservation. This little town called Helchita. If anybody knows where it is, it's about 45 minutes south of Blanding, about 45 minutes north of Kayenta. Like, you just, it's about a 5-hour drive from here. We loaded up. We had bikes. I had bikes strapped down in my truck. We got out to right just before you get to Helchita, out on the reservation, is what's called the Forrest Gump Road. You familiar?
Yes. Very familiar.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The Forrest Gump Road is that part where right behind you is Monument Valley, the Navajo park that you can go into and see all the there's the Three Sisters and there's the Mitten Buttes, the Twin Mitten Buttes and all that stuff. Iconic scenes that you can go out there and tour through. We got a chance to do that. But we took these bikes out of my truck. We got a shot. It was me, my girlfriend, and my two kids riding little kids' bikes up the hill on the Forrest Gump Road. Iconic picture right there. That's going to be, it'll be like the Beatles and Abbey Road. But
I got to ask if you popped a wheelie.
Yes, but it was not voluntary. Okay, it was completely riding little kids' bikes. The good news is the bikes were in good shape. We loaded them back up, took off. It's 5 miles up the road is Helchita, this little town. And they have a community center there. And we rolled up. There was a bunch of people there waiting for us. We unloaded the trucks and the trailers. We had bikes. We had hams. We had clothing. We had linens that some of the local hotels had donated. Just it was really, really cool. We spread everything out in almost like a little store. We had like sections, like teens on this side. Down the middle was, you know, 9, 10. Plus, and then we split this all up, and then everybody came through. These little kids came through and got to pick two things off of these tables, and then each kid that showed up got to pick a bike as well. And man, it was just cool. This little kid named Isaac running around couldn't be more excited, couldn't stop touching stuff. He was this little kid, beautiful long black hair. And everybody on the reservation, Brian, you'll like this. At least in Helchita, everybody in Helchita are big Steelers fans.
Oh, no.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why, but everybody was wearing Pittsburgh Steelers hats and shirts. And this kid had a AJ Brown jersey from back in his day. It was cool. Anyway, and we loaded up, and then they fed us Navajo tacos.
Oh, delicious.
They had an authentic Navajo taco meal for us to eat. To my knowledge, I don't know that I've ever had an authentic Navajo taco. It was amazing. Fresh, everything fresh cut, fresh made. Some of the stuff was grown there. It was incredible.
Are you still craving for it now?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it was good. We loaded up. We said our goodbyes. And as we were leaving the community center, these Navajo kids took off riding in front of us, you know, down the road in front of us on their new bikes. And it was awesome. Just watching these kids enjoy their new Christmas bikes. They all, their moms and dads had some of the gifts that they had, or the items they had picked off the tables. It was really cool. So it was one more way that folks in Southern Utah help out people around us here in our communities, regionally as well. It was a long drive, and it was cool, and it was definitely worth it. We went and spent some time touring around. We went to Monument Valley and went to Horseshoe Bend and just got to see all of it. It was really, really cool. And St. George Rotary Club comes through again.
Yeah, they helping did. Out. And this community comes through.
Yeah, it sure does.
How was the weather, though, down there?
It was great. It was a little chilly. We stayed in Bluff, Utah, which is this little town. It's got some pretty, it seems like every little town there has a different topography. Like Bluff had like this like light and dark brown rocks as their backdrop. You know, Blanding was too dark. We went there for dinner. But Helchita has more red rocks, and Mexican Hat's got its own, you know, topography, and you go up the road and then you go down to Kayenta and it's more flat. It's just every little town has its own little like backdrop. It was super cool. If anybody gets a chance to do it, to go through the Navajo Reservation south of Blanding, we decided not to do Four Corners because I've heard it's kind of a You know what I mean? I mean, people that have gone to Four Corners are like, eh, it's not worth it.
We have three corners right here in the county, you know, so.
Yes, we do. He's Brian Therriot in studio today. Brian, let's jump to St. George City Council is going to be doing some stuff in the next. Now, today, actually, I was going to have, I talked to Natalie Larson. They are meeting with the folks at Dixie Sun Bowl today, the contractors and all the people kind of behind the scenes with the, they're going to get into the, getting that project. They've kind of got it scraped down and they're going to start really getting this going here soon. What do you know about, do you know anything about this project at all, about Dixie Sun Bowl? And what are you aware of it? And where do you think you see this going from here?
Oh, I see it being an even bigger asset for the community here in St. George and Washington County to have the Sun Bowl. As you bring up the word Sun Bowl, I can't help but think of my time of my grandpa taking all his grandkids to the Dixie Rodeo.
Roundup, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the roundup. And so that's when we'd get our cowboy boots and our cowboy hats. And
I could just see it. I could just see it back in like the 90s, what we like earlier, the 80s.
We're talking 80s.
All right. Way back.
Way back.
Then your fringe, get your fringe cowboy shirt. Now, coming up in, what is it? It's the first part of January. I believe the first, is it the Monday? The 5th, right? The first city council meeting, I believe, is going to be, is it on the 5th? Is that the first Monday? Is that when it's going to happen?
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is city council with Jimmy Hughes moving from, and I want to say ascending, but moving from the city council seat. He's currently on the city council. He was elected mayor. He'll move to the mayor seat, leaving that seat open. Now, I believe it happens in Hurricane as well, the same thing is happening with Nanette Billings being transitioned out. The open city council seat will be filled by appointment by the rest of the city council members. Talk about that, how that works and how this goes down and what the process is of filling that seat.
So what I know is I've done this once before.
Okay.
And there's an application period. It'll probably last a week or 2 weeks.
Okay.
And you have to be a St. George resident to apply for it. I think you have to have lived in St. George for a year and a voter.
Yep.
So
I have to be
over 18.
Right. And so you go and basically apply, and what kind of, so you go in and make your application known at the meeting. How does that go down? I mean, what's the process of that?
I don't know. You'd have to have somebody up from the city tell you the whole process, but.
Well, I just mean as far as.
There's like an application period.
Okay. You put in your application.
So it's like a job. You're filling out an application, sending in your resume, you know, your cover sheet letter of why you should be picked. And there's probably going to be 15, 20 people apply for it, which has happened in previous times.
Yep.
So, but you have to say that's exciting because St. George is an incredible city in which to raise and work and have and grow your families here. And congratulations to Jimmy Hughes and Michelle Randall. Thank you for being a great mayor. So.
Now as you look at this transition, the city council votes on who on these 20 people that come and apply. You don't have to have any, other than being a resident, you don't have to have any kind of public service, prerequisite. Literally anybody in the sound of my voice, city resident, St. George resident, can apply for this.
Yeah, over 18, lived here a year.
Yeah. So, I'm curious.
And then what will probably happen, too, is they'll probably give each applicant a couple of minutes to state their case before the whole city council as the reason why they should be picked.
Yeah. And you've done this before.
Yeah.
And so how did it go down? Did you have time to, did they give you a time limit? How did it go?
Yeah, it was like 1 or 2 minutes.
Okay.
I think.
That sounds about right.
The time minute was.
Well, if you've got 20 people and you're.
Yeah,
2 minutes.
Don't want to go there all night.
It'll be hours, man. It'll be hours, but it'll still so the process will begin right after the first of the year with that first city council meeting. Have you been through the new city council chambers?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
I haven't. I've seen the building
the
go up.
Pictures and all of that. Got to get in there and go check it out. Andy was there, and he told me that they got all the tiles you can paint back when they were building it. You can submit these tiles in like a mosaic type thing, and people can and that's all part of it. So that's really cool. I'm excited to see how this process goes. I'm excited to see who the new city council member will be. It's a unique, maybe it's not unique. I keep calling it unique, but it's definitely a process to getting is it an at-large? Is that what they call it? The at-large?
Yeah.
An appointment.
Yeah, St. George City's at-large, so
yeah.
They cover the whole city rather than a district,
right?
A specific district.
Right, and so I'm interested to see how they fill this seat, how they go about weighing, of all the applicants, weighing out, okay, what is their background? What do they know? Who do they know? What do they represent? How are they to work with? You know, what do we know about them as far as working, and how that plays into each of the other? Because is there four others that'll... There's four others. There's Danielle.
The current city council member.
Steve. Mm-hmm. Danielle, Steve, Natalie.
Michelle. Yeah.
And then, right.
Yeah. And whoever they pick is going to do an incredible job.
I completely trust all of them.
The foundations of this city have set it out for all of us to be successful.
For sure. For sure. All right. If you guys have thoughts or questions, you can text in. The new text line is 435-261-4540. Brian Theriot in studio. Brian, you've worked for a long time with city governments. You were with Five Counties?
Five County, yeah.
Five County
Association of Governments.
You know everybody then. I mean, you've worked with everybody. Sheriff's offices and, city councils and
public health, state, federal, all of them.
All over. You worked for?
I worked for Senator Bennett.
Senator Bennett.
And before that, I worked for Senator Hatch.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Well, he was senator for a long time.
Yeah.
And now you've met all these people. You feel like you've got like this. What do we look at as far as like this weekend? Last week there was the water summit going on in Vegas. Do we have time? Yeah, let's talk about this for just a couple of minutes. Let's talk about where we see this going. It doesn't seem like we're getting any closer to an agreement on how to handle the Colorado River dividing up of assets here. What do we know about this? What's the problem? What are we looking at?
So we live in the West, and living in the West, the big issue is always water.
Yep.
We all love it. We need it. We enjoy it. And so as I've been following it, I've been looking at in February, an environmental impact statement is going to be coming out each and every one of us, 40 million people, will have a chance and opportunity to talk about water in the West here, especially on the Colorado River. I was just traveling through Arizona last week, and I was looking at Lake Mead, and I'm like, that is a serious,
Came through Lake Powell last week. Same thing. Yeah. It's scary. I'm curious, what's the best case scenario and what's the worst case scenario, and where are we most likely to end up in dividing up this water? Because you've got Utah in the lower basin,
or in the upper basin,
rather, and the lower states, the lower basin states, there seems to be some disagreement on how we can divide up this water. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And they don't seem to know what the answer is either. I know there's some conservatives. There's some, some of the political lines are being drawn here. How does that play into it? Yeah.
Very well. I was reading over the weekend, too, that California is actually saying that they're open, very open to compromising, too, on their water allocations.
Yeah. It's getting serious when California is getting ready to compromise.
Yes.
All right. If you guys have some thoughts, some questions on any part of the local or area regional governments, Brian is a master at all of it. He knows everybody on it. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text in 435-261-4540, the number to text in, Or you can also call us up, 673-5890. 673-5890. The number to text in, to call in. He's Brian Theriot in studio. And we're going to get to one of your famous friends. One of your very famous friends.
Oh.
And growing up down the street from, well, future Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Have some dirt. We'll have some dirt from Brian Theriot on our Secretary of State. Stick around for that. KDXU News Time 929. This is Southern Utah.
I've never been there, but the brochure looks nice.
Meet. KDXU News Time 933. This is Southern Utah. I'm Dale Desmond. In studio, my buddy Brian Theriot, formerly of the five counties of government. Did I say it right? Five counties. How do I say it?
Five County Association
of governments.
Yes.
Isn't there an acronym for that?
Yes. There's always an acronym.
Okay, especially in government. I know. Yeah. I know
that people
goes.
Make up their own acronyms.
I love it. Now, Brian, is one of the cool things that I know about you. I spent most of my career not in talk radio, but in country radio. And as you work your way up, you get into management and you get into the certain points. When Mike McGarry was here, when I was here previously, I had to come in and fill in for Mike, and it's a challenge getting into this, going from music to talk radio. And I will say that I don't know that I'm not that cool, but I know a lot of cool people. I have a lot of country artists in the last 30 years, good friends of mine. You've got a very good friend of yours, growing up, childhood friend of yours that you, I hope, are exploiting to when and if you get to that point, you can be like ambassador of Fiji or Aruba or something like that.
It would be the Philippines. That's where I served my mission. I know Tagalog. So
you grew up down the street from some guy named, what did you guys call him?
We called him Tony.
Tony Rubio, who we all know as Marco Rubio, yes. One of your good buddies.
Yeah.
Talk about that, how you went from growing up in St. George to living in Vegas down the street from Marco Rubio.
Yeah, so growing up in Las Vegas, all of a sudden this family moves in across the street, and there's this young kid about my same age, and he's out throwing a football, and we're like, hey, football's better when you throw it to another person.
Another kid, right, especially not your brother.
Yeah, exactly. And so from there, we just had a great friendship. We went to school together, scouts together, had classes together. I will say this, that his vocabulary took off because he was a constant talker in school.
Oh, no, I could see that.
And he talked constantly, and so the teacher would always have to say, Marco, come sit by me.
Yep.
And she would say, pull out the dictionary and write a page.
Oh,
and give it back
to me. Copy it.
Yes, copy it.
Copy
verbatim.
The dictionary.
Copy
that was the punishment.
Verbatim. That was it, yeah.
Well, it's a good thing.
And it served him well, right?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah.
As a senator, speaker of the House of Florida, and secretary of state.
And you guys grew up down the street, childhood kids, your brothers, did he have siblings too? You guys kind of played with?
Yeah, he had a sister.
One sister, okay.
Yeah, sister.
And then
he had two older siblings that my brothers and I, we just really didn't know because they were older. They were
back in
Florida.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Growing up from now down the street from Marco Rubio, did you, there's got to be some dirt. There's got to be some stuff you guys did, torturing bugs or something that you, and you don't have to tell me. Don't tell me because I don't want the Secret Service crashing through the windows. But do you have something that could be marginally useful against some kind of dirt that you know about Marco Rubio growing up as little kids in Vegas?
He's probably got dirt on me too, So, actually, no. He was great friendship growing up.
Pretty good kid.
Yeah, pretty good kid. You know.
Did you guys, you were in scouts? Did you do campouts together? Were you like,
Yeah, we did.
You know,
yeah, and I remember going to the Hoover Dam, right, Boulder Dam, and back at that time in Scouts, you could actually go down to the bottom of the dam and tour it.
Inside it.
That was an incredible scene to be able to see that. You look down and look over, and I'm like, I don't think I'd ever let a Scout look over that Hoover Dam, man. That's a long ways down.
You're going to be throwing stuff, spitting off the side.
What I remember was a lot of people would throw coins down the dam. And in the crevices, there was a lot of coins that were stuck.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
And you could see it.
You could see it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm not afraid of heights, but everybody I seem to go with is like, I'm not going over there.
Yeah.
I'm not going over there. When was the last time you had a chance to visit with Marco and find out, you know, what's going on with his life recently? It's been forever and ever. I was one of the first country DJs to play Taylor Swift's music back when she was a 16-year-old nobody. I used to talk to her all the time, but as time goes on, they become, you know, big stars. I haven't talked to Taylor in probably 10 years, but once upon a time, she was on the speed dial.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Nice. So like, I know it goes and it goes. Yeah. You don't talk to him very often.
I have him in my phone, but I don't talk to him a lot.
Right.
You know,
your phone goes missing.
So the last time really I had a great conversation with him was when he was running for president.
Okay.
And, you know, 2028's coming up. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Does he think he's going to run for president? Do you think he'll get picked up on a ticket? What is your professional opinion on where we think Marco Rubio is going to end up in 2028? In 2028?
2028. He's going to end up somewhere in the White House.
Okay.
Yes.
Cabinet, nobody, no doubt.
Cabinet.
Not running for Congress again, being in Congress. He'll get appointed somewhere.
What I like about Marco is, like, growing up with him, like, he was talking policy in fifth and sixth grade.
What?
Yes. Like, he wanted to solve Social Security. I'm serious.
That
is what he wanted to do. Instead of talking about the Miami Dolphins constant, he was always talking about U.S. national policy, world policy, too.
What about, like, school policy? You talking about, like, how we can get gum in school? Was he getting, like, can we get the day off? Was he in school? Was he in school like class president, like that sort of stuff that you remember?
No.
Never did that.
You don't get to be class president when you're always sitting by the teacher.
If that's the case, Brian, I'm in good shape.
But he did say, you know, he sent it to Celeste Malloy, congresswoman, who's doing a fabulous job for the servicing the 2nd District here of Utah. She sent me a text the other day that she was at the White House at the president's Christmas party, and she ran into Marco and was talking about me, and so it was a good conversation.
So
I never thought my name would be brought up in the White House.
Right. Well, at least not for good.
Yeah.
I thought mine would be. It would probably be for the Secret Service with my picture and notable offenses. When you guys growing up together, you and Marco Rubio, how old were you guys when did you guys move away? Did he move away? Like, how long were you guys growing up? You said
about
you were
3 years.
Okay.
We were across the street 3 years. We'd play football, together, and his sister, she's actually the one that taught all of my brothers and I how to roller skate.
Okay.
So we know how to roller skate because of his sister. And our family actually moved away because my mother said, you know, I'm the oldest of six boys. She said, I don't know where my boys are going, but I know they're going to go to Dixie High School.
Okay.
And so she, you know, our family's five generations here in St. George.
Yeah.
And so she said to my dad, I am moving up to St. George, and that's where all my boys are going to go to Dixie High School.
So you were born here, moved to Vegas, and then came back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just happened, that's crazy, just happened to be next door neighbors, across the street neighbors from now Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
A lot of people don't know, but he's got more family living in Las Vegas than he does anywhere.
Or Florida, or whatever. How do you feel he's doing as Secretary of State? I mean, are you able to watch? I mean, I'm sure you're clued in.
This is how I'm going to tell you and answer that question is I put my head on my pillow after I say my prayers at night, and I know that Marco Rubio is in charge of Secretary of State, and I have a good night's sleep.
Every night.
Can I tell you that?
Yes. So you think he's doing a good job?
Very good.
Do you see him running for president?
Yes.
Do you see him?
He's ran for president before.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's why he's probably at where he's at as Secretary of State, doing a good job there. We'd love to hear from you guys if you have thoughts, maybe questions for my buddy Brian Theriot in studio. He knows everybody about everything about everybody, I guess I should say. You could say it either way there. You can text in 435-261-4540. You can call in 673-5890, 673-5890. You probably don't have enough stuff to write like a memoir book, you know, like a biography about Marco Rubio, an unauthorized or whatever. I don't see doing that, but I mean, growing up 3 years together.
Well,
still
there's a
cool
lot that could be written because, you know, he beat me in the Pinewood Derby, you know? So
really what happened is his dad beat your dad.
Yes,
yeah, the
exactly.
Pinewood Derby. Okay,
that's exactly how that
really, really what happened. I'm not surprised by that at all. All right, let's take a quick break. KDXU News time is 9:44. We're going to come back. We're going to chat a little bit about the America Fest over the weekend. We're going to hear some snippets from who could be the next president of the United States. And there was no announcement made, but if you read between the lines and listen between the lines, we'll talk about it on the backside of the break. This is Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond on KDXU.
Don't you worry what they tell themselves.
All right, KDXU News time is 9:46. This is Southern U Talk with Dale Desmond. I got Brian Theriot in studio. Brian, you've got a vast experience in local and in state, even some federal governments. When you were working for government or for Senator Hatch and then Senator
Bennett
as well, did you live in D.C.? Did you live here and then were like working locally? How did that work?
So I did. A lot of it was in Ogden and Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And I did work for Senator Hatch in Washington, D.C.
You lived there?
Yeah.
How was that?
When I hear traffic, I'm like, I'll take St. George traffic.
I'm good.
Any day.
I'm good.
Even though we have our challenges.
All right.
And then, of course, the last bit, I was here in St. George. I always wanted to get back home.
Yeah.
St. George is home.
You've been around. Been around the block. He's been around the world. He's been around. So over the weekend, it was the America Fest, Turning Point Action America Fest, and it was crazy. It was a full weekend. Thursday is when it started. They had stuff go, keynote speakers from Erica Kirk, Ben Shapiro, Russell Brand, a lot of celebrities. Tucker Carlson spoke all the way down. I even saw there was a meet and greet with gosh, who was the female NASCAR driver? I just saw it a minute ago. She was there doing, she spoke, and Danica Patrick was there. And then last night, things wrapped up with some big keynotes. Congressman Byron Donalds, also Glenn Beck, Speaker Mike Johnson, Donald Trump Jr., Erica Kirk had a sit-down one-on-one with rapper Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
Nicki Minaj was there. She's been very outspoken about her criticism of California government and Governor Gavin Newsom. And the keynote, the final speaker yesterday, Vice President J.D. Vance, who earlier in the conference, Erica Kirk had endorsed for president in 2028. Now, he hasn't announced he's going to run. He hasn't announced any of that stuff. But I am curious if you guys hear what I hear. Here's a little snippet. This is a several minutes of Vice President J.D. Vance at the America Fest conference. Tell me if you guys hear what I hear in this, and it'll run a couple of minutes. Here we go.
Not long ago, I spent time at a Christian men's ministry just a couple of weeks ago. And here's what they do. They take men who struggle with addiction or homelessness, and they help them get back on their feet. They feed them. They clothe them. They give them shelter and financial advice. They live out the very best part of Christ's commission. Now, afterwards, I had lunch with four of these men. It was a couple of white guys, a Hispanic guy, and a black man. They had all struggled in their unique ways. Some had lost contact with their family, some of them for a very long time. Others were desperate to rebuild relationships with their kids so that they could see them on Christmas. But all of them were back on their feet. And what saved them? It wasn't racial commonality or grievance. It wasn't some philosophical jargon. It wasn't a DEI prep course, and it wasn't a welfare check. It was the fact that a carpenter died 2,000 years ago and changed the world in the process. If you go to almost any food pantry in this country, you will find Christians feeding the poor. If you go to addicts whose families won't even speak to them, like my mom was at a certain point of her life, it's often the Christian ministries that stay with them at their very lowest moments. You'll find Christians sitting patiently beside hospice beds and in recovery rooms and in all the places of the world where people have given up on other people. And this is the moral truth we strive to center in our work in the Trump administration and in this great movement of ours. A true Christian politics, it cannot just be about the protection of the unborn or the promotion of the family, as important as those things absolutely are. It must be at the heart of our full understanding of government. Why do we penalize corporations that ship American jobs overseas? Because we believe in the inherent dignity of human work and every person who works a good job in this country. Why have we worked, without the help of Congress, to restrict H-1B visas, for example? Because we believe it is wrong for companies to bypass American labor just to go for cheaper options in the third world. We help older Americans in retirement, including by ending taxes on Social Security, because we believe in honoring your father and mother rather than shipping all of their money off to Ukraine. We believe in taking care of the poor, which is why we have Medicaid, so that the least among us can afford their prescriptions or to take their kids to see a doctor. And it's why we are outraged at the injustice of Tim Walz allowing Somalian immigrants to defraud that program to the tune of billions of dollars. It ought to go to Americans, because that's who it's there for. I want to close, my friends, but I know, I have heard you, I know that some of you are impatient at the pace of progress, and my response to that is good. Be impatient. Use that desire for justice for your country as fuel to get involved in this movement in a bigger and better and more powerful way. I know some of you are discouraged by the infighting over any number of issues. Don't be discouraged. Wouldn't you rather lead a movement of free thinkers who sometimes disagree than a bunch of drones who take their orders from George Soros? And I know many of you miss our dear friend Charlie Kirk. So do I. I miss his optimism. I miss his energy. I miss the phone calls where we'd strategize about how to get this or that GOP congressman to get off their ass and do something. But most of all, I miss Charlie's wisdom. I miss his reminder that politics is not a dress rehearsal or a game. We are making decisions that will save our country and give the American people a shot at their dreams again. If you miss Charlie Kirk, do you promise to fight what he died for? Do you promise to take the country back from the people who took his life? Do you promise to help defeat the radicals who cheered his death? Do you promise to honor his memory by having faith in the God he loved? My friends, commit to these things, and I promise you victory. I promise you closed borders and safe communities. I promise you good jobs and a dignified life. Only God can promise you salvation and heaven, but together we can fulfill the promise of the greatest nation in the history of the earth. Merry Christmas, my friends. Let's keep fighting.
J.D. Vance last night at Turning Points America Fest as it wrapped up. He was the keynote speaker, the final speaker. Earlier in the day, Erica Kirk, the widow of Charlie, endorsed him for president. Brian, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts on this right now is that we're going to be going into a midterm election next year, 2026. Yep. It's coming. And you've got to get your base energized to be able to carry through, because either you're going to be in power or you're not as a party.
Yep.
So, and it's also, to me, laying the groundwork for the presidential race 2028.
Okay. I thought the same thing. I thought, yikes, that is super powerful, his energy. A lot of the things that he said, if you want to go back and listen to this, there's an hour. I mean, we could have played the whole hour, and it was really powerful. But he went over a lot of things. But the one theme that I found coming out of this was he's less divisive than President Trump. He seems more, hey, everybody, listen to the other side. You don't have to agree with them. Stand for what you believe in, and stand up for. You don't have to be a jerk. He stood by Christian themes and principles in there. Love everybody around you. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to disagree. You don't have to be a jerk about it. And I'm interested to see how the relationship between J.D. Vance and President Trump, what happens there in the next 3 years. I wonder, is it going to turn into like it did back in 2020? Who was our other president in 2020, or was it when who was the vice president last Trump's from Indiana? Devolved quickly. That went downhill fast.
Mike Pence.
Yeah. Thank you. It went downhill fast between those two. And I'm interested to see the relationship between Trump and J.D. Vance over the next 3 years, if they can remain, cohesive. And does it become an easy turnover, when and if J.D. Vance says, I'm going to run for president, does J.D. Vance want Trump's, I imagine he would, his endorsement. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm interested to see how that goes.
Any candidate would want that.
Any conservative candidate, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed by JD's by his message, by his unabashed use and reference to Christian ideology.
Yeah, you could hear it in his speech there.
Yeah,
you know. But the other thought I have, too, is that nobody's going to want to announce that they're running for president, because you fall under greater scrutiny and rules and laws and regulations, So you're going to hold off onto that as long as you can.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, maybe we see a Vance Rubio ticket coming up in 2028. We'll see how that goes. We're about out of time here, Brian. Thank you for coming in this morning. Hope you have a good Christmas.
You too, Dale. Glad to come in. And I brought some Pop-Tarts to all our fans.
Oh, yes.
Friends, for the
our BYU fans.
BYU fans.
There we go.
Pop-Tart Bowl.
We're ready. Pop-Tart Bowl. Big BYU fan right
Utes.
There. We'll be cheering them all on. We'll be cheering them all on. All right, this is Southern U Talk. We'll be having St. George Police in tomorrow, chatting about what they've got going on and looking into the holiday season. KDXU News Time, 9:59. I'm Dale Desmond. We'll see you guys tomorrow.